see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. I got several subjects I'm going to talk about. They're related in a way or another. And I'm going to cover still some more about the Trinity, as I talked about yesterday. Kind of close it down a little bit to understand it, because we'll never understand it. There's no way we can understand the Trinity. It's impossible. We can know some of the parts of it, but you'll never understand it. We always try to come to an understanding, but it's on our level. But our level is only human, materialistic, material, physical. So it's impossible to debate the Bible, which is spiritual, unless you know all about it, and no human does from anywhere. None of them do. That's why debate in the Scriptures is considered the same thing as murder. How about that? And how many people debate the Bible nowadays? It is. I don't think people realize that. I don't think it's ever been discussed, and I've mentioned it several times. Whoa. He don't want to stop, does he? Where'd that come from? Anyway, people don't mention that at all. It's like they ignore it, but it's in the Scripture, actually, about debating the Bible. Now, I don't know who's listening tonight that's never heard me say this before. But you'll find in let's see, where is it? You'll find in Romans 1:29, among covetousness, debate, murder, envy, fornication, malignity, whispers, deceit, unrighteousness, is debate. We can't debate. We're not allowed to. Romans 1:29. It's there in the Bible. People just ignore that. I never heard anybody say, well, I just can't debate you because in the Bible. I've never heard that said before. But it is. It's considered the same thing as murder. Wow. Well, family, I want to get started. And hope to give you a lot tonight. Some things to think about. Lord, tonight we come together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, lift us up tonight. Father, to bring us, Father, knowledge tonight. We discuss these subjects we're going to talk about. Guide me, Father, as I lead them. Father, we pray for an awakening in this country. We pray, Lord, for awakening of the Holy Scriptures upon people's hearts. That the Holy Spirit will touch people. To get them away from deceived practices and deceived theologians today that are based on the humanistic values they put in our churches and schools today. Father, we know there's a lull here awaiting the day of judgment. The judgment to this earth we know is coming. Father, we call upon you to open our eyes. We can see the signs of the times. We call for that. We pray for our families. We pray for those, Lord, that we prayed for in the past of healing, needs healing, to for protection. Lord, as they walk their walk, as a new beginners, beginners in the Word, that, Lord, you'll protect them. We pray, Lord, that the numbers increase of those that are hungry for the Word. That there not be a feast of the of famine of the Word, but a feast within the Word. Father, we call upon that Holy Spirit then to touch your hearts of those watchmen and to bring out those that are going to preach the truth. In all these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, rocks, you got pet rocks. I wonder if people really talk to their pet rocks. Don't have to feed it, walk it, get a scratching post for it. It just sits there. I wonder if people talk to their pet rocks. But you know, rocks don't normally get the benefit of human conversation. Did you know that? Of course, you could say, man, talking to you is like talking to a rock. Well, that means that rocks don't talk. So use that as hyperbole. Now, many people walk by and say, hi, rock. How you doing? If they did, somebody probably come pick them up. Hey, rock, you get around much these days? How round do you get? Well, the day is coming when people will not only talk to the rocks, family, they're going to cry out to the rocks. Because that's all that's going to hear them. They're going to cry out to them. They're going to, you know, Revelation 6, it says that when the sixth seal of God's judgment is opened. And family, don't be fooled by these pseudo pastors and prophets and inner tube, YouTube, whatever tube it is, evangelists, TV evangelists that tell you we're already into the tribulations. Because we're not. You know, during the last four judgments, the four horsemen, they call them, of the apocalypse, they ride forth. Now, we can sit all day long, discuss the horses, what they do, but that's God's business. Just know that they're coming. How they do it, I don't know. Are they angels that's bringing the plagues upon this earth? I don't know. All that's God's business. It's going to happen whether we find out about it or not. We just know it's coming. When the fifth seal is opened, the martyrs in heaven ask God how long until their deaths are avenged. Because only God can bring the vengeance. And on this earth, that hasn't happened. If I've been explaining in my broadcasts how America's been involved in propagating the wars since we ever began. And deception has always been seated within our government, religious, schools, everything. Everything. You know it's not led by God. God's used us? Yeah. Yeah, he has. But the government has subverted it the whole way, as they have in every country. So we're not blessed by God. We're placated by Satan and made the best of it by using our position to bring the word of God to people. If it's led by God, it'd be permanent. It's definitely not permanent. But when the sixth seal is broken, there's going to be a mighty earthquake that shakes the earth. And it won't be a harp. God don't need a harp. It won't be no more harp after that. Harp won't even exist. This will be all God. There'll be violent celestial disturbances that will involve the sun, moon, and stars. And it'll take place. It won't be four blood moons. It'll be one blood moon. But that's all it's going to take. World leaders and ordinary citizens, they'll cry out to the rocks and mountains, fall out, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. God will make himself known throughout the world. Every inch of this earth. Not just one little country somewhere and you read about it in the news. See that little country there? See, we're going through the tribulation now. That is the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. It'll be right in the front doorstep of every place in America. Europe, Canada. Well, I could just go on name city, countries, but you got the point. The passage describes the future day of God's wrath when he'll punish the nations for all their wickedness that I've laid out in my broadcast the past 3 or 4 days. I've been describing in excruciating detail. Exactly to what extent this wickedness has went. And now they've done it. Exactly to the detail. Satan's plan involved the sinking of Lusitania. sentence plan involved Pearl Harbor, involved the killing of President Kennedy. It involved World War I and World War II and upcoming World War III, and involved Revolutionary War. It involved all of it. It's connected to fulfillment of the scripture. But I've been saying exactly how Satan's been doing it, as God is allowing him to do it. Until that day that people yell, fall on us and hide us in the wrath of the Lamb. He'll punish the nations for their wickedness. Who is able to stand? And the answer will be no one. In the flood, who is able to stand? No one. But there's eight people floating. In Sodom and Gomorrah, who is able to stand? No one, except for the ones that escaped. It was let out by the angels. Lot and his family. God is compassionate and he's patient. Psalms 86, 15. But thou, O Lord, art a great, art a God of full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Romans, New Testament, 2:4. O despisest thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That is key right there. He wishes none should perish but have everlasting life. The goodness of God is allowing it to go on, that leads thee to repentance. There is the key right there. Why is God letting all this happen? I can't believe he's letting it happen all this long. Where's your God at now? Blah, blah, blah. He's long-suffering and patient, just not knowing that the goodness of God leads them to repentance. I like that, because that is the answer. But one day, his wrath will be unleashed with such a fury that not even the rocks will be able to hide those who's going to deserve his just punishment. So how can you avoid the wrath of God? Well, Romans 3:23 tells you. For all have sinned. That was awkward. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right down below it, 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, how clear is that? To escape God's wrath, embrace God's love. Oh, they're going to talk to the rocks, all right. But those rocks ain't going to hear them. Even the rocks will be running and hiding. There they are. You know, where'd God come from? You ever ask that question? How'd God get here? Where'd God come from? What was he doing before he created the universe? If he's eternal, must have been pretty bored. If we're only 7,000, 6,000 years old. He's here before eternity. Our minds can't fathom that. But those questions assume that everything, including God, is subject to the limitations of time and space, as man is. That there's absolutely nothing outside of time and space. That's our little world. But you know that earthworm's got his little world too. An assumption that the scientific community, they've questioned this in their finite minds and virtually dismissed since Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. You see, Einstein showed that time can actually be altered, slowed down, speeded up. That's when objects travel at extremely high speeds. His theory of relativity. But that theory of relativity, E equals energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, there's another dimension to that theory that's not talked about. Energy equals mass, molecules, atoms that come together, times the speed of light squared. Now, if you do algebraic computations, and you want to solve for mass, and to change the mass, you have to have interaction between the energy and the speed of the molecules. So by adding energy and changing the speed of light molecules and their speed based on 186,000 miles per second, you increase that with energy, you're going to change the mass. I bet y'all thought I was just old country boy, didn't you? You know, cement pond. Well, I know a little bit more, y'all. So if you were to increase that molecule with energy to a million miles per second, or even more, you're going to go into another dimension. You'll be there, but you'll not be seen by those with the slow molecules at 186,000 miles per second. That's how the supernatural works. They could be within your same room and you not see them, and they can't interact because your molecules aren't reacting at the same level. That's why you can go through a wall. If your speed of molecules are faster than the physical wall molecules are slower, you can go right through that wall. But you don't want your energy to, or your molecule speed to slow down and stop at that point, because you'll be embedded in the wall. That's exactly what happened in the Philadelphia experiment. But see, God has his own internal energy. Jesus could manipulate his physical body in that way. He can manipulate our bodies that way with alchemy, an increase of energy from dead. The death and dying is absorbed. There's your energy. The fallen angels can take physical form. You see how it works? Oh, this is quite amazing when you study it. It's incredible. But their energy is limited. God's not at all. He's into everything. Well, not totally understandable, of course. The facts do make it easier to accept the biblical teaching that God exists outside of time and space as we know them. Psalms 90, verse 4. I really tried to sum up a very complex formula there. I hope I did justice to it, but I just gave you kind of a taste of it. When you really study it, it's quite amazing, all the implications that comes out of it. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it's passed as a watch in the night. You know what it says in the Bible? To God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. All he's doing there is telling you his concept of time is not like ours. That's all that is. It's not telling us that, oh, it says 5 days. That means 5,000 years. No. No, not at all. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past as a watch in the night. Colossians 1:17. Let's go to the New Testament. See what we got there. And he is before all things, and by him things, listen, all things consist. Didn't say just exist, but consist of God. Colossians 1, verse 2, I believe. No, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. That one day, there it is, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. Second Peter 3:8. You know, I don't know if you all know, but I sometimes don't even know what I'm going to talk about till after the music is over or 10 minutes before I go on. You all think it's all structured, don't you? Maybe. Well, it's not. God puts it together in my head and tells me where to go to read, where what to say, almost every broadcast and almost every Bible study. I don't prepare ahead of time. I can't. He didn't allow me to. I mean, it's I can't explain it to y'all. It's weird, but sometimes I sit here and worry, you know, that what I'm going to talk about, and he puts it into me. He just does. It's right before I go on. It wastes the last darn minute. And it's always been that way. And I just, so people that I know, they know this. But I'm not messing around. It's actually true. Every single time. That's why it takes me time to find something. Because it's not prepared. He leads me to it every darn time. 2 Peter 3:8. Oh, it's so frustrating sometimes too. 2 Peter 3:8. You know, they're talking here. It's going to be the 3:8. Talking about the day of judgment. Well, that works out, don't it? Day of judgment. See, that what I told you at the very beginning about the rocks was not meant to connect with 2 Peter 3:8, but it does. Because in 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment, perdition, of a godly man. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then why the long delay in God's judgment? Well, first you got to remember that the Lord is timeless. He doesn't live in a sphere of time as we do. After all, time is determined by the relation of the sun to the earth, and God is not limited by this type of relationship. There's a limit to the north and south, east and west, that goes out to the universe. The universe stops at the water that divides the second heaven, the known universe, physical known universe, and the third heaven. There's a water barrier that doesn't allow the fallen angels to go through and go back to heaven. How's that work? I don't know. But it does. So that means east and west does stop. It's not limitless. It's not an infinite universe, like we've been told. That's some serious implications. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I think I just made a major point there. He can expand a day into a millennium. He can compress a millennium into a day. He can either spread or concentrate his activities. But you know, God has promised us to end the history of ungodly men with their judgment, with his judgment. If there seems to be a delay, it's not because he's unfaithful or to his promise. It's because he's patient. He doesn't want any to perish. His desire is that all should come to repentance. That's very important. And that's exactly what the churches aren't doing today. He purposely extends the time of grace so that men might have every opportunity to be saved. If we're into Isaiah 61:2, you read of the year in that year of the Lord's favor and the day of his vengeance. That suggests that he delights to show mercy in that judgment of his strange work. Isaiah 28:21. It may also indicate that he can extend his long suffering 1,000 years and condense his judgment into one day. He waited 120 years before he sent the flood. Now he has waited several thousand years before destroying the world with fire. That's the day that they dread. Now, I think that we need to do a Bible study on the day of the Lord. That in itself is a study. And that refers to any period when God acts in judgment. But there's a particular day of the Lord. That's during the tribulation time. And this was used in the Old Testament, by the way, to describe any period of time when God punished the evildoers. And he triumphed over all his foes. There's a lot of scripture for that. But I won't go into it tonight. But it does refer to the tribulation, a 7-year period. That's when God will judge unbelieving Israel. See, I always said, Israel is God's business. He'll judge them. They won't get away with anything. And that includes his return to earth, when he will inflict vengeance on all those who don't know God and who don't obey his gospel. They play around with it right now. But that play is going to stop, because they'll cry out to the rocks when this happens. It's used at the millennium, when Christ will rule the earth with a rod of iron. It also refers to the final destruction of the heavens and the earth, and that with fire. That's the meaning in chapter 3. But it'll come as a thief when we won't know. I had said many times, I've talked about it, regular listeners you know, that Satan doesn't have wisdom or discernment. So he doesn't know a lot about what you know. He has a lot of knowledge. He can make things happen as allowed. He can fulfill the fortune cookies, seances, and so forth, because when you've done that, when you've messed with it, that gives the demons the opportunity to work, because God won't hold them back. You see. So in other words, the fortune cookies and the fortune teller and all these sort of things and all that can actually happen. But it's not God doing it. It's not the powers of the human that's telling it. It's because you've allowed that to happen, and it becomes kind of a curse. Now, I've been talking to folks that Satan tries to, and John Todd talked about this, that Satan tries to get a Christian to put a curse on himself so that it allows a demonic entity to come inside the individual. A Christian, to get the insight that the Christian has, like a parasite. To find out those that are Christian, put a spell on themselves, and that way Satan will find out what God's up to. Well, I find this interesting. I was in a conversation on the YouTube, on one of my posts that I did, about this one individual that openly worships Satan. And talking to this one person, he said, and I quote, when he's asking him questions and got this person to open up and all that, he completed it with this comment. Quote, "It is done, my Lord and Master, the Morning Star," hello, "now knows of you, my purpose," not talking to me, but talking to somebody else, "my purpose as a slave of Satan," P-B-U-H, whatever that means, "is to make him aware of people with your knowledge. My satanic ritual is now done. So mote it be. Ha ha ha. Hail Satan, my Lord and Master." Unquote. Family's getting serious, even on YouTube, Facebook, in your lives. It's getting real serious. And he told me, he said, I hope you like to pray and read the Bible. At any moment, your faith wavers. Satan will come for you. See, they try to scare you, try to cause fear. Of course, I wrote back a scathing comment, but I won't go into all the conversation back and forth. But that is it in practice, even on the YouTube. They count all areas that's going on today. And people are scared of this. Well, being afraid of it is not going to solve it. It's to meet it head on. But you got to be ready. Kind of odd, isn't it? To accept that God exists outside the time and space framework as we know it, it kind of renders any question of where he came from and what he was doing before he created what we know as the universe actually meaningless. The questions might be legitimate if God is subject to time and space, but it's not. The Bible teaches that God is not bound by time or space, and that he has not chosen to reveal to us from our perspective. Wouldn't do any good anyway. All that took place before he created the universe. We have no idea. So it brings us to Trinity. And the question was, do we as Christians, certainly not connected to Christianity, I mean, you can claim it if you want to, I don't. Because Christianity, you got to say, well, which sect do you belong to? Because each one has some kind of different teaching. Christianity is a religion. That's all it is. But being a Christian, not about Christianity. Being a Christian is following Jesus. Jesus alone. And the instruction booklet is a King James Bible. That's it. But to lead you astray, Constantine and the Catholic Church created Christianity to control those that believed in Jesus. Now you got a religion. And then when they get you in there, they start deviating all kinds of different directions and tickling your ears. 37,000 different sects within the Christian religion, Christianity. So see, it's not about Christianity. It's about Jesus. We worship one God. But you're always accused of polytheism, worshiping at least three gods. The scriptures don't teach that there are three gods. Neither do they teach that God wears three different masks and while acting out the drama of history. So while the Bible does teach, as stated, the doctrine of the Trinity, that we spoke about yesterday, there's one God who's revealed himself in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And all three persons are but one God. As I mentioned, it's difficult to comprehend and understand. I gave you scriptures along the way. But nevertheless, what the Bible tells us is that the closest the finite mind could come to explaining the infinite mystery, the infinite God, when considering the statements about God's being, the Bible teaches there's one God, only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. So actually, in the King James Bible, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, is one Lord. And there's one God. First Timothy 2, verse 5. And Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So, even though God is one in his essential being or nature, he is also three persons. Let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:26. And God said, behold, in 3:22, Genesis 3:22 in the King James Bible. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, is he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. The man to become as God. That's the number of the skull and bones, by the way, 322. That's their secret, is them to become as gods. So, God's plural personality is kind of indicated here. For he could not be talking to angels in these instances. Angels could not and did not help God create. They didn't help him create. They were just there to be services. Not for creation. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, not the angels, created all things. For example, in John 1:3. All things were by him. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these days, last days, spoken unto us by the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Oh, yeah. They like to use that one to say there's aliens out there. Now, in addition to speaking of God as one, and alluding to the plurality of God's personality, the scriptures are quite specific when they name God in terms of three persons. There's a person that the Bible calls the Father, and the Father designated as God the Father in Galatians 1, verse 1. And there's only one Father. There's not a whole bunch of them running around. Paul, as an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You know, the Bible also goes on to talk about person that's named Jesus, or the Son, or the Word, also called God. The Word was God, John 1:1. And the Word became flesh, John 1:14. In John 5:18, that's major. In John 5:18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. See, that goes along with the scriptures about that no man judge you for meat. or a holy day or a new moon, the Sabbath, that any day is your Sabbath as a Gentile. Because Jesus fulfilled the fourth commandment. Well, he broke the Sabbath. Didn't have to be on that day. You know, there's a third person mentioned too in the scriptures called the Holy Spirit. And that person is different from the Father and the Son, but is also called God. It says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to the lie of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit? You've not lied to men, but to God. The facts of the biblical teaching are these, actually. There is one God. This one God has a plural personality. This one God is called the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And all the distinct personalities, all designated God, were therefore led to the conclusion that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one God, the doctrine of the Trinity. There's a theologian, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and he came up with an analogy. It goes something like this. Quote, the doctrine of the Trinity is not irrational. What is irrational is to suppress the biblical evidence for Trinity in favor of unity, or the evidence for unity in favor of the Trinity. Our data must take precedence over our models. Or stating it better, our models must sensitively reflect the full range of data. So a close analogy to the theologian's procedure here lies in the work of theoretical physicists. Subatomic entities are found on examination to possess wave properties, W, wave particle properties, P, and quantum properties, H. Though these characteristics are in many respects incompatible, that's like particles don't diffract while waves do, etc. Physicists explain or model an electron as pwh. They have to give the proper weight to all the relevant data coming in. So likewise, the theologian who speaks of God, three in one, neither the scientist nor the theologian, they expect you to get a picture by way of the model. So the purpose of the model is to help you take into account all the facts instead of perverting reality through a superimposement and apparent consistency on it. So the choice is clear. Either Trinity or God, who is only a pale imitation of the Lord, is biblical or confessional Christianity. Either way you look at it, the idea of the Trinity is really hard to grasp, quite frankly. And that's understandable. Because our finite minds cannot understand the infinite. That's the answer. And to come up with an analogy that makes sense is really difficult, even at the highest level of theologians. Or scientist. I had an analogy at one time. It's like this. You got a stream, a river. One river. And then the river breaks off into three streams. Three little brooks. And each brook goes through a different part of the country. And then they all come back to one. One provides electricity, one provides fishing, one provides maybe a beach, But they're all three from the same river. But all three streams serve a different purpose. Yet the same river. I also liken it to water. Ice, water, and steam. It's the same glass of water, the same bucket of water. But you lower the temperature down, for example, it becomes ice. The same water can be used to drink or make things cold or take a steam bath with. But still the same water, but serves different purposes. That's the simplest way I can explain it. Family, we're coming in here, and but you know, when you get up there, God will explain all that to you anyway, and you'll have the supernatural ability to figure it out. Today, we struggle with it. That's expected. I try to make some kind of sense of it. But right now, there's a hold, pattern of sort, where we see the thinning of the veil between the first and second heaven. The second heaven is where the supernatural realm of the demons, the fallen angels, reside, which is the known universe. And only out there can supernatural beings operate. Flesh will not survive the space because the forces that are out there, radiation, etc. That's why God's got the Van Allen belt surrounding the earth. Its own little cocoon, its own little aquarium, protected. Set up just for you. And outside of that, another frequency level is the real heaven, where God resides, with a barrier between it, not allow the fallen angels to ever go back, because they rebelled. It cannot be forgiven them, because they knew. For humans, because He said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Now you know why, because you don't know. None of us know. We don't have that infinite supernatural knowledge that they did. So that makes it pretty dumb, don't it? If they had that knowledge and know, so why'd they do it? Why'd they rebel against God? Pride, lust, ego. And then the second time, the watchers came down after the flood. First, the first wave of fallen angels intermingled with the daughters of men of Cain and those Adam and Eve. The populations that were developing over that 1,550 years between Adam and Eve and the flood, intermingled with daughters of men, different DNA, mingled with human DNA, created giants, men of renown. God wiped them out. Then the second wave of watchers to help man got a little lustful again. Because they had physical bodies to interact, to train men, to teach them to do things. Intermingled again. Satan caused them to. That brought on your ascended masters. That brought on your alchemy and everything after the flood. Nimrod, etc. Witchcraft. Alchemy. The pharaohs. Again, intermingling with the daughters of men, but adjusting the body structure just right, because he'd learned a lot from the days before the flood. They live in those areas outside the known, our planet, desolate areas in these other planets. It's unsettling to human life, but not to supernatural beings. They like the earth, because it's richness. They like the bodies because they can feel in the five senses. Besides the vengeance of mankind in tune with God to take over the functions of Lucifer, he really didn't want that. And it's all about vengeance and destruction of their children in the flood. But their children were abominations called Nephilim, or giants, and total abominations, and recreation of God's creation by manipulation of DNA through alchemy. Well, God destroyed it, and they saw their new creation, recreation, destroyed. Again, vengeance. So you see, there's a lot going on today. Way over our heads. But in the meantime, we're focused on Ferguson. There's been a shooting down here in Stanford of a white cop and a black person. And the can't breathe guy got choked. And then what else is it? Other things going on. The torture report. Everybody's locked into that. Wow. Then they got a mountain-sized meteor heading toward Earth, some Russian scientist says. So is it always is something, always is something. And it just disappears like Fukushima just went poof. Because they don't know. And we don't either, and we're not worrying about it. And I'm not worrying about it. As long as you got God in your soul, in your spirit. It just comes as it comes. It's all God's business. Ours is to spread the gospel. That's it. Okay. Well, we're at the end tonight. Tomorrow. Surprise. tomorrow. Broadcast at 4 to 6. Bible study tomorrow night. And I want to remind you that radio sponsors, not really sponsors, but they play our broadcast and our Bible studies, John Kirkler. HighPointRadio.net. HighPointRadio.net's got sponsors. They have sponsors. We don't. I don't. And I put New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And, you know, check out his site there, and he plays us randomly. And he wants to increase his output. So he's got sponsors in those places. Maybe check them out and use the sponsors. Give him a good word. For us, he plays my broadcasts and my Bible studies randomly. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. So we'll see you all tomorrow night. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study. Father, thank you for leading me through tonight. Lord, we pray for our brethren, our families, and our friends. And we pray for our enemies too, Lord. That, Father, the knowledge of you will be spread above and beyond and out and about. That, Father, they'll learn your name. And divine appointments will set up so others can see the truth about Jesus. That you are long-suffering, patient, that wish none should perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, to guide them to that knowledge, and to cover them with the blood of Jesus to protect them when Satan tries to hold them back. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us more insight in the follow-up studies we got in the future. We thank you for the ones we got now. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God in the King James Bible. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, we're going to end normal way. Is there a normal way? And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6. And so y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. And sleep well. It's your watchman, signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.